We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years Radio on the Spotify Green Room app. Andy Liu, we are doing post-game for Summer League right now. The Golden State Warriors lost in overtime to the Orlando Magic. I'm pretty sure no one cares about the result in Summer League. We're just excited to see the prospects and see what they can do. Andy and I, by the way, will be in Vegas on the latter half of the week. We will be broadcasting live from Summer League, but for this game, we're safe in the Bay Area. We're not there yet. We're safe in the Bay Area. That was a fun game, Sam. By the way, no other podcast out there that will give you Summer League post game like Light Years Radio. So I am proud of us for doing this. That was one of the. It wasn't a great start, Sam, but ended up being a very, very fun game to watch, especially on a Monday night. I mean, can't ask for more. There's nothing else on TV nowadays. This is great.
So when I watch Summer League games, I don't care about who wins and loses because it doesn't matter. I'm more like watching for the players I think will be on the roster next year and kind of what I'm seeing. Obviously, two lottery picks that the Warriors have. We're hopeful they'll be good players and everything. So it's like that's why I'm watching. So I want to start there.
Okay.
Jonathan Kuminga. I thought there were some really good things from him tonight. He built upon that California Classic game, and my first take from him is like, dude, I feel like Corey Maggette might be the last player the Warriors had who took it to the rim with physicality the way he does.
I cannot think of another person because that's just not really a Warriors player trait. Right, like it's
not the last decade. Yeah,
but like who in the NBA is kind of like that? That's the crazy part because yeah, look at James Harden and he draws a bunch of fouls and Luka Doncic, but those guys aren't. They don't draw fouls like that. They draw fouls a different way. This guy drew fouls like Russell Westbrook, like he drew fouls like Kawhi Leonard and like you're saying Corey Maggette. Not saying he's those guys, but he's drawing fouls.
I hope he's not Corey Maggette.
There's a big difference between Kawhi, Russ. And then Corey Maggette. But that's what it feels like. I mean, that's really what I wanted to bring up first, too, is dude's relentless. It's relentless.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm watching it, and we can go through where he's at and what we're seeing right now, and it is ultimately one Summer League game. But, like, the first thing that stands out to you is, like, he's got an adult frame. He's probably going to get stronger, but he's, like – I don't know how much he weighs, maybe 230, something like that. Like he is strong and he's got more shake than you would expect. So he can get his body into guys, finish over them. Like the most exciting thing about him is like he's not afraid of contact at all. And anything that, you know, he's lacking in terms of finishing or stuff seems more like an experience thing. Like he's got decent touch. He definitely looks like a player who can, you know, be like in the high end in terms of free throw attempts in a few years. So that's kind of exciting because that's like, that's been a major Warrior blind spot over these years. Like, you know, obviously the shooting gets all the praise and the off ball activity and all that stuff. But it's like, they haven't really had anyone who can quote unquote put it down and get to the cup.
Yeah.
I mean, the handle is, I mean, I hesitate to say special. It's been two games, but the handle is awesome. Two in and out left-hand dribbles. I mean, who on the Warriors can do two in and out with their right hands? I mean,
there's no one over 6'4", that's for sure.
There's Steph.
So yeah, I was gonna say they have guards who can do it. They haven't had a forward who can do it. Well, okay, Katie.
But doing it in the left hand offhand and then getting to the hole. So actually functionally doing it and getting to the rack, right? We're not talking about doing it and then settling for a step back 18 footer. Like this is
shout
a guy that
Wiggins.
Yeah. Is he like, to me, it looks like now there are parts of his game that makes me feel like he is 18, 19, but there are other parts of his game where I'm like, dude's like 24. Because there are a couple possessions where he goes by a guy, then pushes him off with his shoulder or offhand, classic LeBron style, and then finishes pretty steadily to where you're like, damn, that balance is, that's a guy that, like you said, that's a guy with a balance that's been in the NBA for 3 years. Cause you don't see that often with young kids coming into the league. So that stuff is crazy. That got me thinking of Kawhi Leonard at the high end, obviously, because I'm an optimistic dude nowadays, Sam. I'm keeping optimistic. But when you see stuff like that, people can't
light years,
in front of that.
Light years are home for erudite takes. That's right. I mean, look, man, I'm not someone who's going to kill a teenager or anything like that. Everything I've seen from him, it's like, it may take him time, but like he has the tools to be one of those high-end wings who championship contenders are built around long-term. Who knows if he gets there, but he's a very exciting prospect because let me put it this way. With a lot of prospects, you're like, all right, he's probably never going to be able to do that, but he could be really good at X and Y. Like, I don't want to make this about Wiseman, but it's like, okay, I can't really see Wiseman ever becoming a passer. I could see him becoming great at everything else, but not like a passer, right? But with Kuminga at this point, he has demonstrated a level of feel that he could potentially do a little bit of everything. Now, you know, his game's going to evolve and that take will change over time, but I think that's what's the most exciting. Like, there's some awareness, there's some passing there. There's obviously the balance, the physicality, stuff to attack the rim. There's defensive upside. Some of those steals he had tonight were nice. He also had
and
some
blocks.
Plays.
And
yes,
blocks.
He
also,
yeah. Yeah. He also had plays where it was like, oh, man, he has no clue where to rotate. Sure. And then he just looks like one of those wings who has a chance to be a long-term two-way player. And it's going to take time.
Yeah, the shot, the other thing. Look, I always say this. Not a shot guy. What I'm really good at watching is defense and passing and position. Like that's my forte. Not a shot guy. But it doesn't look that bad, Sam. Like that thing doesn't look broke. Like it doesn't look like Jacob Evans coming into the NBA. It doesn't look like Markelle Fultz coming into the NBA. Where you're like, yeah, those guys, like, yeah, he's not gonna be able to shoot. Right? Like it doesn't look that bad. It makes me feel like he could actually end up being a decent shooter. And really what's most important is he going to be able to make free throws? You don't want to be a horrific free throw shooter. But if he ends up being a mid-70s free throw shooter, I mean, with the amount of free throws that he's going to take in the NBA, that's going to be crucial.
Right. And it's very clear he wants to be a guy who gets downhill into the rim. So eventually he's going to have to be able to hit some shots just to keep defenses honest. I'm with you. The shot doesn't look broken or anything, but there's work to be done there. I can easily see him getting in the NBA and being like a 20% three-point shooter for the first month, and you know things kind of going sideways that way. That's sometimes how it
like
goes.
Oubre. Just like
Oubre. And the last thing I want to say on Kuminga is, I mean, the overall competitiveness is nice. It's, it makes you feel like you got a guy you can invest in because he definitely looks like he wants to compete the whole way through. I like that he was matching Jalen Suggs' energy there. You know, now Jalen Suggs more polished in terms of quote unquote making the winning plays and you know all the stuff you like. But but I did think he was matching the energy and everything on that level.
Kuminga has the type of competitiveness where I wish all players, but again, it's like if all players had it, then it wouldn't be special if he had it.
Right.
But it does seem really cool that he has that. Like you always say, and everybody around him has always said, like someone like Andrew Wiggins, who's been a pretty good warrior, but like he lacks that kind of fire. Draymond Green has that fire. Steph and Clay both have that fire, and not everybody has it. That's why Steph, Clay, and Draymond are all stars. That's why they're all awesome. Jonathan Kuminga, another guy that we feel like, yeah, he might have that.
Are we ready to talk about Sam though? My guy.
Well, let's talk about your guy.
Is this guy looks like he's ready to play 22 minutes right now on the big league squad. I mean, he is, he might be the, shouts to Warriors World, tweeted that he was smarter, had higher IQ than the two guys that just left in Bazemore and Oubre. I mean, is that even, I mean, the bar is low.
But we talking Justin? We talking Justin and Jessa? No. No, you're right. I mean, Moses Moody, he looks very comfortable moving off ball and playing off of players in a way that you don't see teenagers do it. Like, usually that's something that comes with the 27-year-old, right? That comes with the guy who's been in the league for a while. So I thought that was really impressive. Like, he knows exactly – he knows where to flare out to if someone's dribbling in his direction. He knows where to be on defense. He has a chance to be a rotation player earlier than you would.
Wild. And the thing that I almost had like a trigger reaction, but like of the good kind, when he made the extra pass a couple times, one time in transition, and then another time passing to an open shooter, where I was just like, Oh, that's what Steve Kerr is going to love. That's what the Warriors love to do. And that's what every team loves to do. But if you want to play with Steph, that's what you need to figure out. Moody doesn't need to figure that out because apparently he already knows how to do that. He already knows how to do that. And it's his second game in the NBA, I guess, like preseason game. And he already knows how to do that. So just watching that, I'm just like, and he can shoot, right? And he's always in the right place, especially defensively. And it's just, I mean, he needs to get a lot stronger. That's the only kind of downside I have. But like, that's another thing where it's like, he's just a young dude. Like, well, of course you're going to have to get a lot stronger, but he does get thrown around a little bit. But
I don't want to be a negative guy, but the only negative thing I have to say is the lack of athleticism, is on display here. And I do wonder if he's going to get, he's going to get the shock when he gets to the NBA. Like, he strikes me as a guy who's going to eventually figure it out because he's long and he's got enough size and everything. But like, I do wonder if he gets to the NBA, if that, when everyone's playing a little faster, if that doesn't catch up to him.
Yeah, that is, I mean, the guys that play slow in the NBA and excel are pretty much stars, right? Like, they're superstars. Sure. So you're kind of sitting there like, he's not, probably not going to be that guy. So can he figure out how to do that?
But even if you think of someone like Danny Green, who's not not fast, most of those guys, it takes them a couple of years to figure out how to use what they have against guys who are better athletes. So I wonder if it's going to take him, you know, a little time. And it is what it is. That's the thing with teenagers; it takes some time. We like Wiseman, we like Kuminga, we like Moody around here. That's never been the criticism when we're talking about, like, you know, the roster or anything. So
James Wiseman, I guess another thing, we'll get off these guys when we get to some callers, quick callers today. But James Wiseman would have a hell of a time in summer league right now. I mean, first off, he'd be the biggest dude on the floor by about 6 inches. I mean, just the guy would be just so much bigger and longer than any of these guys on the floor across any of these games. And it's not like he can't move. I mean, it just sucks. And I think I've said this on 3 straight podcasts, and I'll say it again. It sucks that he's losing developmental time, especially in an environment like this where
are you sure he'd be good in summer league? Because I watched Evan Mobley not get the ball passed to him, and I watched Gary Payton Jr. not look like an NBA player for most of the night with his I don't know, man. It's a guards league. Let's just say you can tell which guards are gunning for contracts by the lack of passes they make.
Wiseman thinks he's a guard.
That's true. But I mean, it's just I feel bad for any big in summer league because you like watch this stuff and it's like, unless you're taking it coast to coast, some 6'1" guard is ready to show off what he can do to NBA GMs more than he is to try to thread the needle to you in the post.
Kyle Guy's not passing it to Wiseman, you don't think? You think he's passing?
You know, maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to say, my friend. Do you want to talk about Jalen Suggs or do you want to get to callers real quick?
Oh, yeah. Let me get started because I think I love Jalen Suggs more than Jalen Suggs himself. That end of the game, to me, had all types of Draymond fuse to it. He may not be a super, superstar one day. That's what everyone says. But if you want a guy that's going to make winning basketball plays, for example, like pulling the chair on Kuminga, contesting the rim against Moody on a 2-on-1 situation, making big threes down the stretch when he may not be a great 3-point shooter yet. Like, just making those type of plays where, yeah, he's going to win real postseason games. And I can say that for sure. Kuminga has a better ceiling, but I can't tell you for sure that he's going to make winning postseason plays. And Jalen Suggs, it just got all types of Draymond feels to me. So I love the guy. I mean, I love the guy going into the draft, and I wish the Warriors had him, but special.
I was going to say he reminds me of Drew Holiday.
Winning, another winning basketball player, even though it was fun to make fun of Drew Holiday for a little while there in the postseason. But when it came down to it, he did make winning plays defensively.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's get to some callers. Sorry, guys. I'm at dinner.
Yo.
McWalters.
Yeah, everyone's got to eat, man. Feed yourself. It's all good. We got you covered.
Hey, man. Gary Payton Jr. wasn't letting guys eat today. So, you know, I got to get my.
Fair enough. Hey, man. I thought this was great. You know, you saw some strength from Kuminga fighting through things. Free throws could be a little better. Moody sure. got hot for a little bit. That was good to see. They were both plus 15 and plus 16 and plus minus in this game. Suggs was like minus 24 or some ridiculous number he had, even though they won. You know, so like some really just complete ass, you know, sometimes. You know, it's just totally random and what they're doing, trying to find guys. We have a summer league plus minus call right now.
Unreal.
Hey, man, you have to look for something good, right? But, like, you know, I like what Kyle Guy said. They interviewed Kyle Guy at halftime. It was ridiculous. He's like, I'm pissed I'm on the bench. I'm like, man, you're barely in the NBA. That being said, I'd much rather have someone who gave a shit at the end of my bench than, like, Nico Manning floating like he's, like, a lost deer in the wild out there. So I'm thinking we just cut the Nico project. But let Peyton Guy fight out for it. But, overall, yeah, this looked great. Jessup, yeah, he can go back to the MBDL. I don't even see any more Jessup. He's got another year on that contract over there. Bury him overseas, maybe next year. We'll see you again next year.
Good call. McWalters, appreciate it as always.
Little thing about the Kyle Guy stuff. It's so important in the league just to be able to make a three, be consistent doing it, right? Like, Nico Mannion is a guy that I think he has all types of potential doing everything, but he's not really that good of a shooter. And it's limiting. It's limiting, but Kyle Guy, the guy chucks and he can shoot. And you're like, well, I wouldn't mind Kyle Guy at the end of the roster. Like, I wouldn't mind it just because he's able to shoot.
Yeah, I mean, shooters are always helpful. That's true. He is like 6 feet tall. So
yeah, well,
what was that?
Maybe I could.
Ryan, what's up, man? I've seen you shoot. No.
Yeah, I was watching that game, and I just want to say, Kuminga, the NBA athleticism is already there, first of all. You just see him bullying guys, and he obviously is just a better athlete than any of these guys at this level. I'm interested to see how that holds up in an NBA game. And it's also interesting that he closed at the five. Also, when we're talking trades, I just want to say, Ben Simmons, I know a lot of the fans hate him, but he does a lot of the stuff that this team needs. Secondary playmaking, point of attack defense, rebounding, rim pressure. It all depends on if you could get him mentally right. But if he's mentally right, he's the perfect bridge player for you to trade one of these guys and get him back. And he's going to be 28, 29 when the other kids are 23, 24.
I'm all in. I'm all in on the
Warriors. I like
it. Yeah, I'm all in on the Warriors. And here's one point. Yeah, actually, go ahead, Tim. Go ahead.
No, go for it. I'm sorry, my friend.
No, I was going to say just one thing on Ben. If the Warriors, you think that they rehabilitated Andrew Wiggins, there's no reason to think that they can't do the same thing with a guy that has twice the potential. That's just the one thing I have to say about the Ben to the Warrior stuff.
Yeah, I do get the trepidation, but it's like that is a great point. Everyone forgets, like, when they traded for Wiggins, it was a mocked move because it was like, Wiggins, worst player in the league. And, like, lo and behold, Wiggins can do some things. He can really help you, you know? So Ben Simmons, more talented than Wiggins. Let's see what he could do in this situation. I think it would help the Warriors. It would make more sense in the context of Steph and the core guys. It just comes down to cost. No one's saying he's worth trading the farm for or anything like that. But, like, if you can get him for maybe one of your prospects, it's probably worth it.
Juwan in the chat goes, Wiggins' problem wasn't mentality issues, though. Well, I would say it is. He just didn't – like, you can't have high-profile meltdowns if you're 20 and 40 midway through the season, you know? Like, Ben Simmons gets his team to the playoffs and then had meltdowns there. Ben Simmons – the meltdowns were happening December 3rd when he already gave up, you know? That's my thing there. It's like, Ben Simmons – or, sorry, I was going to say – Wiggins quit on the Wolves many times before he got to the Warriors. It's just it didn't happen on national TV in the playoffs. It happened on regional TV against Orlando in January, you know?
You were watching it. Not I. Not I.
I mean, I need to question why it was, but yes, you are correct. All right, you want to keep moving?
Keep it moving. So, Mikus.
Mike, hey, Mikus. Gentlemen. Not much after listening to your pod from, I think the two that you posted today, I think I've almost come around on the Simmons idea begrudgingly. I've definitely said, but I think I don't hate the idea. I still would prefer Beal, of course, but I mentioned that on Twitter and I'm curious what your guys' answers are to both of them. Say we can get Simmons and we only have to give up one prospect of the three. Who are you dealing? And say we can get Simmons, but we have to give up two. Who's the one you're saving right now, today, after the second Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody Summer League game? Curious your guys' thoughts.
Oh, no.
Mikus, you're going to get us in trouble. So first off, I don't think anyone's considering Moody the same level prospect as Kuminga and Wiseman. Like, I think Moody's going to be a nice player, but, like, Wiseman and Kuminga have superstar potential. Maybe they get there, maybe they don't, but, like, there's a difference. People think Moody's going to be a nice player. People are wondering if Wiseman or Kuminga will fulfill their potential as franchise cornerstones. So, if you say one of the three, it's obviously Moody. If I could trade Moody to get Simmons, I'm very happy. You know, but I don't think that's getting it done for Philly. So I think the real question comes down to Kuminga or Wiseman. And that just seems like a way to get people mad at me on Twitter.
And this is going on the regular feed. If Wiseman was healthy and in this draft, Sam, where would he go? In your opinion, where would he go?
Are we assuming he has the same three college game season?
He's same kind of like exact
the mystery, a little bit of a mystery box.
Yep.
Probably somewhere between 4 and 8, somewhere around where Kuminga went. Honestly,
I
don't think he's breaking the top three.
I agree.
But I don't think you can make a case that like Scottie Barnes or Jalen Suggs would like enamor people more than Wiseman. He'd be in that mix with those guys and Kuminga. And, it'd be a quite like I just gun to my head. I think he would not last past OKC. I think Sam Presti would be like, my guy, give me him. No,
I agree. I mean, it's incredible. I think the Warriors would draft him. Like they'd probably just take him at 7. I mean, if Kuminga isn't there, and if I were to pick a guy that's between the two, I'd probably go Kuminga because he's the guy that to me looks like he can handle the ball a little bit more, and he can actually make decisions a little bit better in terms of the shot. They're both about Wiseman can shoot a little better defensively, incredible potential. All that stuff. They're young. They're all that stuff. But end of the day, I think Kuminga's handle is just a lot better than I thought. And I'm going to bet on that. And honestly, you bet on the wing more often than you bet on the big. Anyway,
I was going to say, I'm always siding wing over big. So that's my easy way around it. I actually, if you were to ask me, I'm willing to bet money Wiseman is more likely to be a winning player. But I think Kuminga has more star upside. Like I feel very confident that Wiseman's going to get to at least the like Miles Turner level of this guy really helps you win games. Good defender, fit it, you know, like does all these things that don't show up in the box score, but help you win games. At minimum, I feel very confident about that. I still think Kuminga has more superstar upside, but like, there's also a higher chance he never realizes it. And that's just my impression based on everything I've seen.
I don't know, man. If I got to keep one, I might go Moody. Just give me the guy.
Relax. Andy's a dude who's using his 7-iron off the tee so he can just get a nice 100-yard shot on the fairway. Just such a weak move. Come on, take a swing. Take a real swing, my man.
By the way, it's exactly what I do. It's exactly what I do. We never play 9 or 18 together. We've hit the range together, but it's exactly what I do.
So predictable. Just trying to hit the fairway and get to a 2-putt. That's your move, right? You're not trying to show off on the driving range. It's just
if I can go straight 130 to 150, I'm happy. You can go pitching wedge the rest of the way.
Just disgusting stuff. Take a swing, my friend. Take a swing.
Take a lap. Oh man.
All right, keep moving. Ryan, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? My question is, how much higher do you guys think Kuminga would have gone this draft if scouts knew about his feel? If this feel is real, obviously, in the summer league game. Like, I get he threw some passes to, like, the third row, but he's making the passes. So how much higher do you think he would have went if scouts knew about his feel?
Oh, I guess I'll take it, Sam.
I was going to say, sorry, I didn't realize post all moot. Do you mind, do you mind if I take it? I was going to say scouts knew about it because he was doing this in the G League bubble. I think why he fell was he couldn't hit an outside shot for half of the bubble. And that made people question, you know, I mean, we think his shot's going to come around, but like if it doesn't, that's a big deal, right? Like that's a big deal. So I do think they knew the feel was there.
Well, you pointed this out, and I can't believe you talked about this. I'm going to steal it to you, and I'm going to lob it back to you. But a lot of the people, the stuff that you hear about Kuminga was also the stuff about the work ethic, which I don't know how you ever judge someone's work ethic when you're just scouting him for a year or so. You really got to know a guy to know their work ethic. But from what we've seen so far about Kuminga and the way that he plays, does it feel like to you that he has low work ethic? Like just the way he plays basketball? And then if that's the case, you kind of bet on the guy to have to get a better jump shot. So that's the other thing I didn't understand when I just saw him play, where I'm just like, I don't know, like Russell Westbrook doesn't have bad work ethic. He might not really know what to work on, but he doesn't have bad work ethic. And that's where the player development coaches come in. I don't know if that's a reason why he dropped Sam, but like that to me felt a little like bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is there's real question marks about his jump shot. Like, he shot 38% in the bubble. He shot 24% from three-point range. That's a real question. I think it'll come around. Secondarily, the work ethic stuff, I mean, you hear it. It's in, like, context of other guys. You just hear, like, I was like, oh, Scotty Barnes is, like, the perfect kid. Like, that sort of stuff, right? So I don't know how much that stuff factors in. But, like, yeah, to me, he looks a good prospect. He didn't look like there's any questions about any sort of that stuff. So we'll see how it plays out.
Nope.
Let's keep moving. Antonio, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's up, y'all? I want to thank y'all real quick for coming out with so many episodes for me to listen to. It cheers me up, especially after that Ramon suspension. We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
But I was just going to talk real quick about Kuminga and Moody. I think their passing ability is being slept on a little Kuminga, some of the times, obviously, like we said, he misses his target, but he's seeing it there. And then I was real impressed with that one fast break when Moody found Kuminga when he just waited up. Like, it was the benefit of him kind of moving slower. He waited up for him. And then that one pass where he just, like, whipped it, like he did the look away, like whipped the pass. Like, I think I'm just real excited to see that when he has the shooters around him. And I think his passing's a little maybe underrated, or he's just showing some good flashes right now.
I like that call, Antonio. I do agree with you. The thing that excites me about both prospects, or one thing that does, is like they have legitimate basketball feel. Maybe it'll take them a while to figure out how to use all the tools, but it's like they recognize where people are around them. They make the extra pass to a degree, and they look like they have the potential to be all-around basketball players, which – we know the type of offense the Warriors run. They run like a read and react motion-based offense. Everyone has to be able to make at least some decisions. And both the guys look like guys who can get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Moody's just – he's so far advanced than Kuminga. I think his feel for passing is more of in the game flow, where he's going to make the right passes if he's getting defended, or he's going to make the right passes if somebody's open in the corner that, you know, people usually don't see. Or just kind of those – Like, he's the type of guy that makes those passes that Draymond does or Andre Iguodala does. Kuminga feels like, to me, a type of passer where if he has the ball in his hands enough times, he'll figure out how to pass. But right now, he just kind of needs the ball in his hands all the time. But that's fine. I mean, that's why he's considered to be the guy with superstar potential. So either way, those two guys, their passing or their ability to kind of figure out just where players are supposed to be a little bit ahead of someone like James Wiseman, which, right, is the third guy in this equation. So, yeah, I mean, exciting.
Absolutely. Gavin, what's up, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on?
Okay, so I think I heard you guys say earlier on the pod that, you know, last year, I think Kuminga probably would have won number one in the draft. But my question about this year's draft is, does Jonathan Kuminga have the highest upside of any of the top picks?
Gavin, love the call. I don't know if he has the highest upside, but he definitely has elite upside. Like, the thing that makes this draft interesting is I could see Cade, I could see Jalen Green, I could see Evan Mobley, I could see a bunch of these guys being superstars. They all have a lot of upside. They're all very toolsy. You know what I mean, Andy? Like, you don't know where it's going to go. You have suspicions, but they're all like guys with a lot of tools that their development can take them many different directions.
I mean, you look at the top three guys that were drafted. I mean, those guys, I think you would think has more upside than Kuminga, but Kuminga's right there at four. He's right there for, he might even like there's no reason to think that he can't be the best player in the draft. It's just that Kate Cunningham can shoot. Jalen Green looks like he can score 20 points just getting off the couch, and he's freaking 19 years old or whatever he is. And then Evan Mobley, I haven't seen him as much, so I can't really.
Looks like Chris Bosh 2.0.
It's just ridiculous talent. I think it speaks more to just the ridiculous talent that's coming in. It really was really what that's about. Just ridiculous talent the NBA's getting.
There's so many kids who have just ridiculous upside, and it's interesting because they're coming in with skill sets that are interesting.
Never seen the skill sets that these guys come in with, and that's, I mean, I don't know. You watch the Olympics, and every time we watch the Olympics, world records are broken. I mean, that's how humans work. They keep getting better. I mean, in at least the top 1%. They just keep getting better.
You mean guys who played in 74 are not better than players who played today?
Right. That's the argument, right? It's not an argument. It's facts. Yeah, you're right. That's why the NBA is always interesting, because they always say the older guys are better. But anyway, next call up.
Omar, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I was pretty encouraged by, you know, I was initially before the draft, like, any, give me anybody but Kuminga. But I've been pretty encouraged by what I've been seeing thus far. Like, beyond the, you know, feel and the athleticism that I kind of underestimated, like, you know, all the passing vision and stuff that you guys mentioned has definitely rang true. That said, I'm not trying to, you know, throw water on the party a little bit here, but I do not believe that guy is going to be a good shooter. That shit looks broke. Like, it looks bad. Like, he doesn't even have any conviction or any confidence when he, like, shoots it himself. It's just like, it's like a prayer every time. And as much as I've been encouraged watching him, I'm like really trying to, you know, I'm struggling to see him as an actual wing in the NBA. He looks more like, you know, just a modern four, like, hey, we have Pascal Siakam at home type of guy. And so as much as I love him, I have some questions, and it just feels weird where, like, we don't have that one blue chip prospect. So those are just my thoughts.
It's a good call, Omar. I'm not willing to write off the shot yet because I don't think it's actually broken. Could get a little more dip on it, to be honest. But I do think there's some work to be done, but I'm not ready to write it off. But, like, it is going to be a thing for him if a year in he's still shooting, like, 26% from three and people aren't guarding him at all. So I think, to me, like all things, him being a respectable shooter is going to be what makes him a superstar, because – he clearly knows how to attack the cup. He clearly has some feel at some other stuff, and I think it'll all come around. I just want the shot to come around a little
bit. I mean, this is why they're paying Jamal Malala and Kenny Atkinson to come on over. Like, figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, this is why Joe Lacob got those guys and Mihailovic. Did I say that right, Sam? Like, this is why they got those three guys, right? Like, those three highly regarded player development coaches or just highly guarded coaches in the NBA, and they're just not teaching Kuminga how to pass or how to play or whatever. It's like, fix a shot, right? Fix the shot. And he's not Steph Curry, but he can get there.
He will not, ever be Steph Curry.
Sorry, but yes. He can get to be a shooter, a respectable shooter.
Right. Yeah,
What did I just say?
I know what you're saying. It's going to be a work in progress. I'm excited to see what the Warriors do with it. The one thing I do like is I like the confidence with it. I hope that doesn't waver, because we've seen a lot of players with the Warriors start missing shots and then just get afraid to shoot the ball. Oh, and that's the last thing we want. You know,
you can't ruin, especially when you're 19 years old, you can't ruin a teenager's confidence. I mean, that's his career. I mean, you're talking about guys like Wiseman and Kuminga. I mean, their NBA career kind of rests on the fact that could these guys shoot 35% from the 3-point line? Like, that's kind of their career relies on that, more so for Kuminga than Wiseman. But like, you get the point.
Agree with you, my friend. Agree. All right, let's get a couple more calls and call it a day. Kieran, what's up, fellas?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can.
Yes, sir. All right, I got two questions. One, Andy, it's going to break your brain. I'll go ahead and say it first. Is Kyle Shanahan going to call the fight and start Trey Lance week one? And and question two, if the package is the same, let's say it's Wiggins, one of the young players in the future pick for this, in this hypothetical, who would you prefer between Siakam and Simmons?
Ooh, that is an interesting question. Andy,
bold prediction. Trey Lance is starting week one. There's too much. He's too good, and you don't really wait around. And they're playing the game. They're doing the whole thing where it's like, well, we really don't want to tank Jimmy G's value in case some guy wants, in case Indiana figures out that Carson Wentz is washed and hurt. We got to get a real quarterback indoor. Or like stuff like that. So I think he starts week one. He's going to look awesome in the preseason, Sam. This guy is going to be Patrick Mahomes 2.0. I'm all in. All right, you take the second question.
What was the second? Oh, Ben or Siakam? I'm asking you, buddy. Who would you rather have?
Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons has more upside. Pascal Siakam has had injury with him a little bit. We don't know. Like, the thing is, I just don't think Ben Simmons, I'm messing up the names. I just don't think Pascal Siakam has the type of playmaking that Ben Simmons has.
No, he doesn't.
The defensive upside. And look, Pascal Siakam shot threes well a couple years ago, but we kind of don't know whether that's the case anymore, right? And he is a little bit injured right now as well, too. So I'm taking Ben just because I think there's a lot more upside there. What is he, like 25, 26? Whereas Siakam is, I think, just about there with Pascal.
Give me Ben. So Siakam's 2 full years older. He might even be close to 3. So that's something to consider. I guess my concern with Siakam is mostly about the injury. So all things considered, I'm going to go Ben Simmons also, just because he doesn't have the injury risk that Siakam does right now.
Wow. That's a bailout. You hedged.
I mean, honestly, I view them pretty similarly. Like, Siakam's a better scorer. There's less mental issues with him. But at the same time, Simmons passing and defense is pretty special. And it's like, you know, if you're talking about which one has an elite skill, like Ben Simmons has 2 elite skills. Siakam's like a B+ at everything. You know what I'm saying?
I tell you what, Joe Lacob's making that trade for, he's trading Wiseman for Simmons. He ain't trading Wiseman for Pascal. Tell you what. So
interesting.
I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm just guessing. If I were the way that Lacob likes Wiseman, I think he wants a superstar, and he probably thinks Ben is.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, Mo, what's up, man?
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you guys for having me on. I just think that Warriors fans are really high on Jordan Poole. I'm not trying to be a hater or nothing, but he's been in the NBA for 2 years, and he's only been good for half a year, and they're already expecting him to be the next CJ McCollum. So I'm just trying to temper expectations. So if there's like rumors of him being involved in Ben Simmons, Pascal Siakam trades, why is there, you know what I'm saying, hesitation to involve him? You know? So that's what I'm asking.
I hear you, Mo. It's a fair point. I think the big thing for the Warriors is they don't want to sell the farm
for one player unless it's like Giannis. Because like if they sell everything they have for one player, they're going to have no bench. They're going to have nothing. Like you want Ben Simmons so he can play with Jordan Poole. Not like you bring Ben Simmons here, and then again, you're like mining the veteran minimum market, hoping to find a Damian Lee.
I also don't think teams view Jordan Poole in the same stratosphere as Wiseman and Kuminga. I mean, you could argue whether they're going to be better players 2 years or not, but I'm pretty sure teams aren't looking at Jordan Poole and saying, yeah, we'd rather have him than one of these guys, or that they think that Jordan Poole is this elite prospect. I just don't think that that's the case.
I kind of agree with you because I think other teams would rather have a future first than Jordan Poole.
Meanwhile,
the Warriors would rather have Jordan Poole than future first because they know Jordan Poole can play in their system, and they're hoping that future first, which they're hoping for, is like 25th or something.
Yeah.
Can hopefully be as good as Jordan Poole. So, you know, it makes sense. It makes all sense in the world there. All right, we're going to call it early tonight. And
get some sleep.
We appreciate you all. We'll be back after the next game. We're going to see you all in Vegas.